a prayer as we begin to look at God's word together. Lord, you offer us life in your name, and we ask that you cause us to wonder afresh at all you've done for us, and show us how we can live for you day by day. Amen. Well, John 20, verse 19, on the evening of that first day of the week, when disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." The risen Jesus locked doors with no problem. In fact, in the original Greek, it is a perfect tense to emphasize the doors being locked. Locked doors, no problem, just as grave clothes were no problem for Jesus when he rose from the dead. Here was one who had real life, who was not a phantom. His body was not identical to his earthly body because it was not so limited, but it was recognizably Jesus. Then verse 20, after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. A number of things we can see from our gospel reading this morning from John. Those disciples were first promised peace instead of their fears. Peace instead of their fears. The gift of peace is spoken of in verse 19b and verse 21. Verse 19, "Peace be with you." Verse 21, again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." The greeting peace or shalom is still used by Jews today when they say hello or say goodbye. But something much bigger here. Jesus spoke about it earlier on in John chapter 14 and verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." There are a number of words you could use to summarize the gospel, but one which can most certainly be used is the word peace. And peace is much bigger than we might think. It's a constant theme of the scriptures. Romans 16, verse 20, speaks of the God of peace. Paul in Colossians 1, verse 20 says, "Through Christ to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." And talking about the two great sides in the ancient world, there was the Jewish nation and then all the other nations, the Gentiles. And Paul talks about the wonder of gospel like this in Ephesians 2. "For he himself is our peace, who's made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law, its commandment and regulation, creating in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross." Then Paul in Romans puts it like this, Romans 5 verse 1, "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus promised peace instead of their fears. And he spoke, we may be sure, with special reference to the state of mind of the 11 apostles, with special reference to the events of the last few days, and with special reference to their future ministries. It's a wonderful start to this fresh start they're given. peace and not blame, peace and not fault-finding, peace and not rebuke. That's what they first heard from risen Christ. He promised them peace instead of their fears. He went on second and promised them power in place of their feebleness. Verse 21, again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." He goes on, verse 22, "And with that he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven.'" And how we need God's Spirit, because we can't run in our own strength. I think we've felt that particularly over the last year and a bit as we've been dealing with our ministry amidst COVID. We need God's Spirit so much, his strength day by day. And Jesus breathed on them a sign and then spoke words. Each one of us needs to rely on God's Spirit. The apostles, yes, apostles, but ordinary. And still today, God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And we've seen that in Wargrave and Knoll Hill down the years. Jesus would send them out into the world to bring assurance of forgiveness to those who turned from their sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus. Do you notice then he breathed on them symbolically, assuring them of the breath of God's Spirit who would come to them to strengthen them. A few weeks later, these same men were witnessing with such boldness that thousands became Christians. With such courage, they sang hymns in prison and prayed for their persecutors who stoned them to death. And they said to themselves, Acts 4, verse 20, "For we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard." He promised peace instead of their fears, power in place of their feebleness, and then finally, pardon instead of condemnation. Verse 22, "And with that he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they're forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven.'" The good news of pardon is what all believers have to share. It's not about an ordained minister absolving. No, this is a job for all of us to do. The ministry of the Lord Jesus handed on to those first apostles, he still hands on to the church today. There's no forgiveness outside Jesus Christ because of his unique death and resurrection. It's very serious if you don't welcome the pardon Jesus offers. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 16, there's a picture of what's happening at the end of time. And there's a group there who really are in a bad way because they've ignored what was available to them. And John, writing from Patmos, says, "They called to mountains and the rocks, 'Fallen us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?'" What a terrible way to end your life when there is pardon available instead of condemnation. It was supremely costly for the Lord Jesus. And actually, in a much smaller way, as we seek to live and speak and work for him, it will be costly. It must have given those first disciples great joy to realize that as Jesus' first disciples, that in spite of their many failures, the Lord was entrusting them with his word and his work. And he's still doing that today. They'd forsaken him and fled, but now he sends them out to represent him, just as he sends each one of us, if we're believers today. Amen.